Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja.
This is the Cashflow Ninja. My name is MC Lobsher, and my guest is Anthony Clurvy with Una. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thanks, MC. Glad to be here.
Yeah, great to connect. For all of our listeners and viewers around the world, all of our resources is available on our brand new launched website, CashflowNinja.com. Check it out at CashflowNinja.com. Anthony, for my listeners and viewers not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with them?
Absolutely. So I grew up in Columbia, Missouri, so Midwest boy. Now live in Kansas City, home of barbecue. And of course, Kansas City Chiefs, a little shout out there. It only took 50 years.
Super Bowl champs.
Super Bowl champs. So hopefully we have NFL this fall, but I digress. That's another subject. So I grew up, again, in Columbia, Missouri. Look, both my parents were teachers, and I had a wonderful childhood, like as far as middle class. And I have older siblings. We all have a half. They're all half siblings. We all have the same dad. But my wife reminds me, hey, you're definitely an only child, even though I'm the youngest of the siblings, how it all goes. But I had a fun childhood with, I was just talking to the last host, whether it be video games or playing outside. To date myself a little bit, grew up in the N64, GoldenEye, Mario Kart, for any of those that played that a long time ago, if you will. And I played high school baseball. I did a little wrestling, college baseball. So I was a quote unquote college athlete, but knew very well I wasn't going to go to the next level. Got an education, went to a small school in Illinois called McKendree University. So then spent a lot of my time basically in the Midwest. My mom, again, they were both as far as teachers, they both taught the secondary level. My dad was an art teacher. My mom was a horseback riding equestrian teacher. So I grew up riding horses. I grew up doing art. I don't have any of the skill sets that my dad has. It's underdeveloped as far as artistic abilities. I've kind of translated that into people and business. And I moved to Kansas City about 10 plus years ago, married, have a couple of kids. I've got a 2-year-old almost about to be 3. I've got, and then a boy, and then I've got a girl that's almost 7 months old. So my life is crazy, but I've married up. And so I'm very, very blessed in that way. She's handling a lot of the things that I'm not good at or would drop the ball on. And then the business is a whole nother story that we can get into, MC.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. It sounds like your house sounds like mine with a...
There you go. And it's been a little busy these last 8
almost
weeks.
18.
Trying to figure out the dynamics, if you will. I know it's a global issue, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's definitely been a lot of fun the last couple of weeks. And yeah, when you were mentioning Kansas City and just saying barbecue, I'm like, man, I loved going down there. And I know there's also always a rivalry between Kansas City and St. Louis with the barbecue.
Right.
Who's got the best barbecue?
Barbecue and baseball. Right.
There you go. There you go. Absolutely. Let's jump into your business journey. So did you go straight into as an entrepreneur start businesses? Did you first learn the skill sets and cut your teeth somewhere else and then went into business? Share a little bit about that.
I tried the employee thing and got fired 3 times and that just didn't work. I'm not bragging about it. That's just my story. I had some executives along the way say, hey, maybe someday when you're captain of the ship, it'll make sense. Why certain things have happened the way they did. So asked to play in the sandbox some other place. I came on to this opportunity through Una. There was plenty of other names. It's really a turnaround opportunity. I'm in business with my brother, so it is a family business. So there's some interesting dynamics from time to time, but he's older than me, wiser than me in a lot of areas. And so we make, I think, a good complement for each other. There's some other investors. And it was a unique opportunity about 8 to 9 years ago to come in, help turn things around, figure out how is this GPO model going to work? What are the markets we're going to serve? What suppliers are we going to work with or supplier partners? And look, this is already working in the healthcare industry. It's very common. How do we make this work? So I had a white canvas. I had some debt to overcome and work for free and worked my way up. And it's like anything else, sweat equity and results. And now, today, present day, Una.com is a very I think, a uniquely positioned business to service, of course, the business arena, and some of the healthcare arena as well. And we are positioning ourselves to try to be a GPO, a group purchasing organization, that's more than just this transactional or the old school version of, all right, you're just going to get on some contracts, hit it, you know, throw it up on the shelf, and you'll never be around us again. We want to get closer to our member. So we've been doing some different fun things of how we're connecting with our members, just like a consumer wants to be met right where they are. And I could get into some of that, I think, as we go back and forth on questions. But I've been really impressed with our team. And I've got a lot of smarter people around me that are doing some fun things and how we're connecting and getting our message out there, not only for our current members, but our future members too. So it's been a fun ride. We certainly haven't arrived. And in this pandemic, we've had a lot of conversations of just trying to serve our members. And we're talking about PPE and helping them get connected with certain suppliers that can help with that. Everything from masks to thermometers. So it's been tough. It's been some tough conversations because I know a lot of people are hurting. Some of our employees have been impacted just in their households. I mean, this is not news. Fortunately, we're seeing this across America, but we're hoping for a turnaround. We're seeing that at UNA, and we're having some more positive conversations. And I've just been very, very thankful, I'll say this. You know, we're a value-driven company that we haven't had to furlough or let anybody go or cut any salaries or anything, which I think it's a unique opportunity as leaders. And I know I'm not the only one. Hopefully this helps your audience too. We've had, and we're still in it, a unique opportunity to put our foot down and say how we're going to serve not only our community, hopefully locally, but then our employees too. And what are we doing to take care of them? And how are we responding to this? And I think UNA's done a pretty good job. I think we could always get better. But I've been really thankful that we've been able to hold tight to this, and we're going to get out and be better on the other side.
So for listeners and viewers that's not familiar with buyers groups and how that works, where it plays into and where this is of value today, can you share just a little bit what it is, how it works, what the benefits for businesses are, what size businesses belong to these groups, and what's the benefit that they would get out from something like this, especially, you know, in the economy that we're finding ourselves in?
Absolutely, MC. So the basic concept of a group purchasing or buying group is we have over $100 billion in leverage spend through all the members and affiliates that we work with. And we use that leverage spend to negotiate contracts with large distributors and suppliers that we've all heard of. You know, everything from Staples to, I could rattle them all off. I don't want to get into all the names just for various reasons, but the big dogs and the big brands that we all know. And then the concept is how do we help, whether it be a small business or even a large business? For this example, let's say a small and medium-sized business buy like the big guys. And we do work with larger companies because usually it's on their indirect spend that doesn't have as much committed volume, so they don't have as much negotiating power. But at the end of the day, how do we help the average business that's maybe, again, as far as size, we're working with companies that less than 500 employees, but ideally about 1,000 to 5,000 employees. We have some, plenty that are less than that, and plenty that are above that, but that's our target sweet spot. And the language that we try to use is we want to empower the sourcing hero or the leader that's over those kind of spend, we'll say spend categories, with different strategies, with unique contracts that are simple, that are easy. The average savings is anywhere between 10 and 25%, depending on the category, so you ask about the value. The speed of service is another piece. And then not missing out on any kind of service needs that you might get. You don't have to sacrifice and get great savings, but then miss out on any kind of service potential that you may be experiencing working directly with your supplier. As far as the more mechanics and basics, the beauty of us is we own the contracts, and we facilitate that and work with the member, as we call them, our clients, our members, our future members, our supplier partners. We really facilitate that relationship. And there's tension in it too, because sometimes maybe there's an existing relationship that we have to navigate through because they're going to jump on an existing contract, or our contract that might bring, you know, some different margin conversations into play. But ultimately what we're trying to do is make it a great fit for everybody. So ideally it's new business for the supplier partner, and then it's a new opportunity for the member to experience savings and value and strategic opportunities at the speed in which they could never do on their own in the simplest form. And the beautiful thing is after the arrangement is made, they can get on multiple categories through UNA, and we facilitate those, but they work directly with the supplier. All the payment, everything goes through there. So it's we're not a cog in the wheel once the decision has been made, but we help them try to manage that going forward. What else is going on in your business? And how can we be a complementary part of it that you don't have to pay any additional cost for? There's no additional cost, but it's going to bring not only short-term value, but ideally, as we stay close to our members, long-term value.
Gotcha. So you're so for business owners, because we have listeners and viewers that are business owners,
great,
of a certain size, they can participate into something like this and experience the same buying power that the big guys would get and buy at the prices that the big guys would buy it, right?
That's the simplest way to put it. You've got business leaders, business owners. We talk to them all the time. It's not just the C-suite or the sourcing heroes or sourcing managers, as we say. But yeah, absolutely. We are talking to owners and CEOs, depending on the size of the business. And that's absolutely what our ideal goal is, to serve you and increase your bottom line. Simple as that.
MC Lobsterier, the creator of the Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Coach at Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate infinite banking with their business and investments. To learn how you can create your own banking system to turbocharge your investments and business in 30 days or less, go to yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com.
Yeah, so for business owners and for viewers listening, is that something to look at in this economy, especially right now? Because, yeah, we talk about, you know, extending the runway with cash in your business and plugging all cash flow leaks that your business may have right now and looking at everything with a very, very close eye. But then there's also, you know, when you're acquiring certain things and the things that you buy, there's maybe a way to look at that differently too. And you can actually buy at a certain discounts things that you buy constantly in your business and just have it. You mentioned one of the brands there was an office supply brand. So something like that, you're going to need ink and paper and all that other stuff. As long as we still do use paper in our business, you're going to need that kind of stuff for your business. So you might as well explore options to buy it at a discount and try and figure out some savings in the areas on stuff that you're already buying, right?
Yep. And what we're seeing too, MC, is because of course paper and paper clips are going down, and we work with all the major office suppliers. So I didn't mean to out anybody there, but ultimately, where we're finding a lot more value, and I think for the next 20 years, just even the next 5, 10, is more janitorial supplies, especially in this current environment. And then there's a lot of technology opportunities that these major players are allowing us to negotiate, which are some fun things that, especially right now, it's very technology driven, as you know, building this digital world that you've built from a financial perspective. And we're all doing more Zoom calls maybe than we're used to. There's a huge demand for this, and I don't think it's going to go away.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely something to look into. So you mentioned large size. Is there smaller size companies and opportunities for them with in this space as well?
Smaller size, absolutely. And usually it's going to be on our shipping program, because everybody ships something. It could be some basics around janitorial supplies, as we mentioned, be a furniture or capital purchase, if you will. And so we're tending to work with either co-ops or potentially even some of our competitors to kind of plug and play and service different members. So various groups or people are part of various networks where there's influences or maybe a common theme or common verticals. But there's absolutely opportunity, MC, for smaller businesses to take advantage of our contracts. And like we said, the simplest way is buy like the big boys, get service like the big boys, not have to pay a fee for it, and then continue to focus on your business and what you're trying to do day to day. It's tough, and this environment kind of creates that language, but you're not going to build your business and grow your business by saving your way to growth, but indirect spend and costs do start to add up. So we tend to find ourselves in these reactionary conversations, but we welcome them. And we want to help people be and organizations think about this, even though it's not super sexy. Those expenses do add up. So how can we help folks, no matter their size, take advantage of that and bring value and, of course, raise their bottom line?
Yep. It's the non-sexy stuff that's going to get people through the recession. It's the grind and all these things start to add up. Yep. It all adds up. A lot of the stuff that you do and that you're involved with too focuses around empowering business leaders as well and inspiring leadership. And at a time like now, I can't think of a message that's more powerful, because We're definitely going to need a lot of great leaders and entrepreneurs to help people get through this and to create products and services through their companies and grow it and grow their people. What are some of the things that you share as you speak and used to speak on stages, now probably through Zoom calls, but as you share, what are some of the things that you share around empowering business leaders, and especially in this economy that we find ourselves on or in right now?
My personal brand, AnthonyClervey.com, my focus there is really, like you said, empower business leaders. And I would say right now, the biggest message, and I probably need to do more of it, and I think most leaders would agree, it's just a message of hope that this is not the end. And I've been trying to really harp on that hope and try to see, I'm a natural glass half full individual. There is a silver lining. There's been a tremendous silver lining for the organization, some that I've either invested in or that, you know, more so my focus 100% with Una. And I've just been emphasizing to leaders to try to share a message of hope and patience. It's been really hard right now. Of course, I would argue the media is not pushing that in any sense of the word, but trying to pull through the weeds and say, what is really going on here? And where is the opportunity within the challenge? Which again, I think goes to the lens of hope. And so some practical things of, I've never talked about the weather so much in my entire life to our team. And when the weather's nice, and if you have kids or you don't, or dogs or pets, whatever, just getting out and enjoying a walk with your family. The silver lining could be, if you can do it, and everybody's world and workplace and environment is different, but if you're able to work from home and you do have that family or whatever you have going on in the household, everybody's life is different, just enjoying a walk in sunshine. And we did a unique thing as well, just as a business leader, and I would encourage other leaders to do this if they can. We gave everybody off in coming June. We're going to give everybody Fridays off. We did that at Una. Just fun things that you can do. Yeah, there's some cost to it, but at the end of the day, what's the cost to our people who are dealing with economic hardship because it's hitting different families differently? And hopefully by June, some more things will open up depending on what country or state you're in, part of the country. And so we just thought there's just been some little practical things at the beginning of the kind of when this all said, hey, everybody's going to go home. We're going to work from home. You know, for a while there, for a couple of weeks, I was sending an audio message to everybody. Might be a minute, might be 2 minutes, just something encouraging or a story. Or the first time when I joined the investor team and got Una up and rolling, just some of the old stories, because shared history is really good. So I think it's a good time to share good history, even if it doesn't always have to have this, you know, rosier than life message. But if it can have something positivity, something of overcoming, I can't emphasize enough how important that kind of message. And then every business leader has a unique message and story. So the best content is where you tell your life experience, because there's only one you.
Yeah, and especially I like that shared history kind of thing too. It's big into it. Plays really big into a culture of a company, of where we came from, what we started, what we built, and knowing the past and honoring the past and respecting the present and building towards a bigger and better future every day is something that will really start to inspire people around you, because there is a better and bigger future to build right now. And the other thing that we talk about too quite a bit is, you know, we building to something, right? You're building, you start somewhere, but you're building towards something and from something as well. You know, right now, regardless of where you are, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this on some of the video channels that we're on, you know, everyone is in a different situation, and this new environment presents a lot of challenges. So, you know, you are where you are, and you can only start where you are and then work on incremental steps of building a bigger and better future. And if you're a leader in your company, you know, you're the person that can inspire people and also help them to build this bigger and better future.
That mental toughness, how do we help? And it's tough right now. It's motivation is like, I recommend it daily, just like a shower. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase, but
I don't watch a lot of TV, but there's one thing that I did make some time for, just because of meeting some folks that have been involved with Michael Jordan. I watched The Last Dance.
Oh yeah.
And that mental, yeah. So that mental toughness right there is just, I think there's a lot to be learned there, especially where we are right now, where he just refuses to give up. one of the person that I've been privileged to meet is his trainer and coach, Tim Grover, and he wrote a book called Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable. And he's unstoppable. Yeah. If you watch the documentary, then you saw the flu game where he had food poisoning, you know, in the NBA finals. And it just, again, that's where he is. You know, his mindset was basically, okay, I have food poisoning. I didn't sleep. I was sick all night. But I'm in the NBA finals, and I'm going to where I'm going. And I will get there. This is not going to be an excuse or a crutch or anything like that. He was getting in there and was getting to win. So that's the type of mindset when you said the persistence and the not stopping right now is definitely something very, very powerful. What are some of the things that you're learning and studying? Because that's one habit I've observed from wealthy and successful folks is that they're studying, they're learning new skill sets and so forth. And what are some of the things that you're learning and studying?
Well, I would say what I'm doing right now, I think I'm a little bit behind the eight ball on creating content and sharing more of my story. And so this is one of the things that I'm starting to do more of. Una's soon going to have its own podcast. I've started a personal brand that lines up and it will speak to a different audience. I go in phases with reading and what I'm reading. I believe in mentors. I believe in reading. Again, there's always different topics that are easier to read for folks. So if you can spread that around, diversify what you're reading. You can't always go with the inspirational stuff if you're loving more the financial living there. So try to mixing that up and even getting outside of the comfortable quote unquote business topics or self-help. I really enjoy the mentorship piece. I don't think there's one mentor that can help you and guide you in every category. So looking for folks, it's cliche, that are farther along in life. And for me, as a value-driven person and trying to build value-driven companies, I like to think about it more than just, quote-unquote, how much money have you made? What does your life look like? What does your marriage look like? What do your kids look like? And those are things that I look at and examine and try to learn from those folks, men and women. And ultimately, what the biggest thing that I'm learning right now is my own personal resiliency dealing with this. Again, I don't think anybody wants to keep talking about this pandemic, which, by the way, I always joke about, there should be somebody should just do like an ebook or some PDF of all the COVIDisms, if you will. It would be hilarious if it's thought out. Even if somebody has already done it or somebody needs to do it. And so learning what comes at you and how are you going to deal with it? You know, the old adage of it's not what happens to you, that it's how you respond. And I believe as a leader and our organization is responding as well as we possibly can to this, we'll call it global upside downness from a health perspective, from an economy's perspective. We all have a different perspective and lens on it. But I just keep reminding us that this won't last forever. And the things that I would continue to learn about myself is that, and hopefully the team around us, is that we can get through this, that we are resilient. And it's a little bit of this American pride, like we're going to rebuild and we're going to get on the other side of this. And I'm glad to be here today with you, MC. I mean, I continue to tell my story and hear more about your story and what hopefully just adding a little value to your audience. And I want to do more and more of this. And this is what I've been focusing on and trying to share our message and connect folks and learn, because I believe you can learn from anybody.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint, followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
Awesome. I love the phrase that you used, the value-driven person, because we're a big believer of value creation and producing and creating. Talk about that a little bit, the value-driven person, of trying to be a value-driven person. What are some of the characteristics, I would say, of a value-driven person, and what is the psychology of a value-driven person? What's the worldview of it?
So the biggest thing that some of the sticky points for me, I could rattle off the five values of Una, but just for me personally, I just think of somebody when, you know, there's the natural pieces of when you say you're going to do something, you do it. And we try to use this language, and it's not always perfect, right? It's progress, not perfection. How do you create a culture of honor, and how you connect with your folks, you connect with your customers, or as we call members and suppliers, and honor, a culture of honor is clearly the DNA of that is empathy. And making, we use language like making room for other people's thoughts. And so we believe in what I think Lencioni has built is its pyramid of trust and healthy conflict. And at the base of that, in addition to integrity, I believe the characteristic is trust is earned and it is given. And like anything else, if you can, trust begets trust. Vulnerability begets vulnerability. And so what I've tried to do as a leader, and I'm still trying to do this in my marriage, in my personal life with friends, and then of course in my business, is how can I create that healthy conflict and that trust and that vulnerability? And the only way to do that is to lead it, is to do it, is to show it. And one of the phrases that I think a leader, despite your title or head of the organization, president, CEO, whatever, what have you, is three words, and it's I messed up. And I can't tell you how important that is and what I've learned, because I've made so many mistakes. And typically what's hard to do as a leader is you have to make decisions with the least amount of, you know, with be comfortable with not having as much data. And then most likely you're going to be wrong. And then owning that and letting your people see that. And so I believe that all attaches to your character, that all attaches to your values, and people see that it's okay to fail and make mistakes. And so that's the, and then you get this environment where the best ideas win, and it's hard to do. We believe we bring in outside consultants that we trust to facilitate some of these healthy and candid and difficult conversations, and it molds and lets our people see it in action, and it's intense, and there's tears, and it's real, and that molds, hopefully people understand, you know, you can train and teach and educate skill, if you will, but we really do try to hire and put the people around us that have that character. So hopefully that answers some of the stuff you're thinking, MC. And those are the thoughts that go through my head when I think about that person of character and why that, or I should say values, you know, make sense to me and what we're trying to do as an organization.
Now, a core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations. How about that? Not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations, and you are only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
There's nothing better than lifelong friendships. Take as much risk as you possibly can. You'll never regret it. Work your ass off. And the fourth one is a bonus. Be patient.
Those are very, very powerful. And let's talk about that bonus one quick, because I think that's a lesson that a lot of people, and I personally have learned that in the hard school of knocks. Patience is definitely something that is very underestimated, because in a world of, you know, quick money and all these, you know, I love how entrepreneurship is, how can I say, is shared in media, right? It's always like, oh, he had this idea and started a company, and now it's, oh, you know, my favorite one is the Apple story, where the two Steves started, you know, this computer company in a garage, and now it's like a $1 billion company. It's like, no. Do you understand that they both worked full-time jobs, 8 to 10 hours a day, for different companies? You know, Steve Jobs was at Atari, Wozniak was at IBM, and then after hours into all the middle of the night, these guys worked on this, and
it's 20-hour days. I mean,
took them years too. Didn't happen in 6 months. So many different prototypes. But that's the real story. But the story is, hey, these guys did it in a garage, and so can you. So if you don't mind touching on patience a little bit and elaborating on that.
Well, it'd be comical, and most of your audience probably doesn't know who I am, but the folks that do, I'm just not a very patient person. I try to fluff it up with Rosie with a high sense of urgency. But what I would say is, to your point, don't compare yourself to other people. There's always somebody bigger and better. If there's anything I can possibly encourage you with impatience, don't do it. Compare yourself to yourself. Where were you last year to this year? And I think that really helps with the patience lens. But then also realizing how long, you know, you want to use the last dance, you know, and how many hours and years did Michael Jordan put into his craft? I mean, it's well beyond this 10,000 hour, all of a sudden I'm an expert. What do they say? 2,000 hours in a year, so 5 years, all of a sudden you're an expert. We know it to be true, and you see it, and then you watch these unicorns, and I think people just don't realize, and I have been guilty of this too, how much people will put into their craft to be able to do X, Y, and Z, whether it's perform at that high level. I would use Tiger Woods as an example. I'm a baseball guy, so I put a ton of time in, but even if I think back to it on corners that I cut or what else I could have done, how much better I could have been. And you see all this talent. I'll use athletics because I think it's easier. It's a little bit easier to measure. Business is easy to measure too. But this idea, you know, these people are 30-year overnight successes, right? Or however the phrase goes. And you can use these big names. I think, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, I know his kind of right-hand man is going to be with us as we're doing this PodMax stuff and coming together as entrepreneurs. And I think he tells a story like he was with his dad in his liquor store for 10 years. And then things evolved after that. So people it's this foundation of wherever you are, think about the next achieving that over the next 25 to 30 years rather than the next 25 to 30 months.
Absolutely. Anthony, where can folks learn more about you? Where can they follow you and where can they stay informed of all the projects that you're involved with?
Well, MC, you can check us out. Check out UNA. That's UNA.com. And that's going to be more for the business side or the procurement conversations or savings. And then from Empowering Business Leaders, AnthonyClervey.com. I think I mentioned it. Love to connect with you. I hear your story. And a lot of the content I'm pushing out there is just purely around empowering business leaders, telling some of my story, and trying to just bring more hope to the business community.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners. For our listeners and viewers out there, thank you so much again for spending your most valuable resource, your time with us during this conversation. And again, check out all of our resources at cashflowninja.com and all of our past episodes. There's over 600 episodes featuring Cashflow Ninjas sharing a lot of their journey and their experiences and providing a ton of value for all of you people. Again, my friends, love your legacy, love your freedom today on your own terms.
This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.